Today is an incredibly important day, Holocaust Remembrance Day. We have a very special guest to talk about the consequences of the Holocaust and what Holocaust Remembrance Day is. Joshua Green joins us right now. Joshua Green is an adjunct instructor of religious studies at Hofstra University in New York and the author of the book Justice at Dachau. Thank you for being here, Mr. Green. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks very much. Pleasure to be here.
I have to tell you really quickly, I still remember a memory very vividly when I was a child. I was 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old, and I was in the backseat of a car, and my parents were listening to this station, WGN, and a man named Roy Leonard had a guest on talking about the Holocaust. And up until that point in my life, I had heard the word, and that was pretty much it. And I knew a little bit about Nazis in Germany, and that was about it. But hearing him illustrate what went on, I just sat in the back of the car, white as a ghost, amazed that those things, those atrocities took place. And then the fact that it wasn't that long ago made it even more awful, if that's possible. Let's talk about the Holocaust and let's talk about Remembrance Day. First of all, how did this happen? How could something so horrendous have ever have taken place to begin with?
Oh, well, now you're asking one of the grand questions of history. The Holocaust was the state-sponsored, scientifically designed, systematic destruction of entire European Jewry and other minorities by the Nazi Party. It was unprecedented in its scale. The depth and the scope and the extent of the horror is something that we're still coming to grips with today. And how can it happen? Well, you know, my field is religious studies, so I come at this with some ambiguity. I believe in compassion and justice, and on the other side, the reason for writing Justice at Dachau is that I also believe in due process of law. In the Holocaust, if you can set aside that terrible human dimension for a moment, can be seen as a series of crimes punishable under international law, and that's where we come to the points of relevancy with what's going on in the world today.
I have an eighth grade son, Dylan, who for one of their field trips went to the Holocaust Museum in Skokie. And like Bill, Dylan had heard Holocaust. You study a little of it in school, but seeing the museum, he came home with such shock at some of the things he saw. And his question to me was, could something like this ever happen again? I turn this question to you, Joshua Green.
It's a tragic question. Never again, as scholar Lawrence Langer once remarked, should really be ever again, because we continue to see the mass murder and the genocides and the atrocities continuing. I think philosopher George Santayana had it wrong when he said that those who do not understand history are condemned to repeat it. We understand a lot about the Holocaust period. We're repeating it all the time. And it's very troubling. One of the big questions confronting educators today is, how will the Holocaust continue to be remembered now that the survivor generation is almost all but gone? Who will tell the story now? Which version of the Holocaust will they tell? Because there are many. Through what medium will they express it? Will it be through legitimate fact-based classes, or will it be through art and poetry and film and novels and fiction? And what are the consequences when the reality of the Holocaust is used as background for creative expression? There are great dangers there.
If, and I know this has been debated over the years, but if Adolf Hitler hadn't risen to power in Germany, how would things have played out differently?
Well, you know, we'd like to think, what if? And there's been hatred toward Jews throughout history. And one of the more recent explorations has been through the lens of the ultra-Orthodox Jewish community, who see the Holocaust in a very, very different way. For the deeply believing Jews, the Holocaust is another experience of what happens when Jews turn away from their religious roots and when they turn away from the deeply religious traditions, whether it be the Spanish Inquisitions or you can go on and on, the Crusades. They see this as another example of what happens when people become godless. I'm not offering you a personal opinion. What I'm saying is that we have to look at the Holocaust from many different angles, and each angle surfaces a different realization, something to be taken away.
We're talking with Joshua Green. His book is Justice at Dachau. There was an article at Huffington Post today. I'll just read you the headline. New study shows anti-Semitism soared last year. The article goes on to talk about all the various incidents, not just here in the United States, but throughout the world. What's causing that? Why are these incidents becoming so prevalent, not all of a sudden, but reaching the numbers that they're reaching right now?
Well, I was hoping we weren't going to get too deep into current politics, but if you foster an environment of animosity toward other people because they look different or they come from different ethnic or religious or racial backgrounds, you inflame parts of human nature that unfortunately are always there with us and really need to be controlled. I screened maybe 500 hours of testimony on video by survivors of the Holocaust for this book. The one that affected me most of all was not a survivor of the concentration camps. It was not a survivor of the death marches. It was a man who was 14 years old, born in Berlin, grew up in Nazi Germany, and who talked about what it was like for him to see his friend getting a torchlight parade for his birthday, to get a uniform, to have the country go to war and thinking, this is fantastic, I'm going to be a hero, we're in the best country, the best nation in the world. And looking back on it now, 50 years later, 60 years later, he says, am I a part of that? Am I that? Am I a part of that humanity that was capable of such actions toward other human beings? And for myself, from a, if you will, a spiritual perspective, when we turn away from our own true nature, our deep, true self, we can fall very, very far. When we turn back toward that light of our true nature, we can soar very high. So it has to be a conscious effort, especially among young people. Wendy, I sympathize with you. You know, students have the attention span of mosquitoes, right, for the most part. How do you teach them something so profound in the space of a week? You know, okay, now we've read Anne Frank off and running to math class. It's very difficult.
Well, that's why going to the Holocaust Museum had such an impact on these kids, because really, I learned about it in school, but not to the extremes that my son was telling me that he learned at the museum. So that's something that we can learn, and we need to find some way to remember. And Holocaust Remembrance Day is today, April 24th. What else can we do to help keep the memory around, Joshua?
Well, we can discuss some of the really critical issues and themes of the Holocaust. How it is, for example, that people go along so easily with things that are so terrible, especially when they're scared, they don't understand it, or the pressure is on for them to take part and to participate in that. We can discuss how it is that the reality of history is so easily softened because it's too hard for us to look at. If you've seen movies, Life is Beautiful, Schindler's List even, which is this iconic film, they don't really describe the reality in detail. Why is The Diary of Anne Frank, for example, such a popular book? It's because it doesn't deal with the horrors of the Holocaust. It's easy for young people to read that story, and yet if that's all they know, then I'm very concerned about what they actually understand about the Holocaust.
Since you brought up The Diary of Anne Frank, Joshua, I'm always amazed at the people who hid, if they were found, like in Anne Frank's case, her or her family, those people would have been put to death. In a lot of these cases, the people who hid Jews during the war just did it out of the kindness of their heart. They didn't even know these people. That's amazing to me.
It says something for humanity deep in the heart.
Yes, absolutely. And it's worth studying. You know, sure, there were such large numbers of people that just went along with it. But what was it about those people who didn't go along with it? What can we glean from that? What is it that allows us to go beyond our own limits, to take risks for someone else, to care for someone who may not benefit us in any way? What is it in human nature that leans in that direction? That's a very important question, and that's what I try to bring up with my students.
Joshua, you had mentioned you spent countless hours interviewing survivors of the death camps. Was there a commonality in these stories that you heard from them?
Yes, there was. Not once did I ever hear a survivor describe himself or herself as a hero. When we look at survivors and elevate them, I remember one group out here on Long Island wanted my help doing a documentary on survivors who had set up homes here on the island. And I said, well, send me some paperwork. The Prolicity said, these men and women embody everything that is great, everything that is noble in the human nature. They represent the will to survive. All right, time out. Are you trying to tell me that the 6 million who didn't survive, they didn't have the will to live? They didn't have the nobility of the human spirit? We have to be careful about obsessing over closure, about looking for a message of salvation in an event that actually offered none.
Wow.
This is powerful.
Joshua, again, because of the importance of today, Holocaust Remembrance Day, what do you recommend that people do? Is there one thing or a couple of things that can be done or should be done today?
Well, I've been to the Skokie Museum. It's an extraordinary place. I think they can certainly schedule trips with their children or families to their local Holocaust centers. They can go online to justice@dachau.com and learn something about the war crimes trials that took place at the end of the war to bring the perpetrators to justice. And maybe just take a moment to breathe deeply and reflect on the great blessing of being alive and the responsibility that comes with that to reach out and be compassionate toward others.
Thank you so much for all this information. We appreciate you talking to us today. The book, again, Justice at Dachau, The Trials of an American Prosecutor. Also, you have a documentary that was broadcast on PBS. Is that still available to be seen?
Hitler's Courts can be found. I believe it's available. People do a search for it. I'm sure they can find it. Yes.
Hitler's Court's Betrayal of the Rule of Law in Nazi Germany, and that aired originally on PBS. If people are looking for that, that's the best way to find it. Joshua Green has been our guest, and again, that book is called Justice at Dachau, available at Amazon or wherever books are sold. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time today.
You're very welcome.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Special thanks to Joshua Green, his new book.
It's called Justice at Dachau. Dachau is one of the death camps. Justice at Dachau, The Trials of an American Prosecutor. All right. So in my head, I had mapped out a couple of questions that I wanted to ask him. He made it clear, just in fairness, saying that he wanted, because it's Holocaust Remembrance Day, he wanted to focus on that. But I'm curious about the aftermath and things we're seeing now around the world that kind of get its roots in the Holocaust. And I was very curious to ask him about Sean Spicer's comments of about 2 weeks ago when he talked about the gas. And he said, well, Hitler didn't gas anybody. And it's very upsetting. But I thought it best, because the focus was supposed to be on the Holocaust, to keep it there. I strayed once or twice, but...
Well, he made it clear he didn't want to talk about today's political
views. And I understand.
I do, too. I want to read that book, because when he mentioned the person that stood out the most was the person that was going to put a uniform on and join, and just thinking, now was I part of that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's a young, impressionable person doing what they feel is right at the time. But I don't know. Doesn't your common sense kick in at some point and go, now, wait a minute.
You would
think. This doesn't seem right.
Right. You would imagine.
I would like to read that interview with that person in that book.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to look up his documentary, Hitler's Courts, Betrayal of the Rule of Law in Nazi Germany. I was also mentioning some of the horrific things that my eighth grade son and his classmates saw at the Holocaust Museum in Skokie. That's a place I should attend, because in high school they said, oh, there were atrocities and they, you know, mentioned the Jews being killed, but they didn't go into detail. And in a weird way, I feel like we should have heard that. We should have realized how horrific it was.
It's one of those, it's such a debatable issue, and it has been for a long time, with some parents saying it's too gruesome to tell the kids these stories. And I understand that, but it really is such a major part of history. And you certainly want your kids to be aware of what went on. And like I said, it's the 1940s wasn't that long ago. I mean, it just wasn't. It's hard to imagine that people weren't smart enough to be able to somehow overthrown that. But it didn't happen as quickly as it needed to happen. So, if you get a chance, the museum in Skokie is a great one. Spurtus College from time to time still does exhibits. I saw one years ago where, you know, I'm sure they do this in Skokie as well, but they brought in so many of the artifacts of what went on at the death camp, and you just move to tears by seeing it. It's so emotional to see it.
Well, today, April 24th, Holocaust Remembrance Day, and thanks again to Joshua Green, and wow, that's all I have to say.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. Bob Kessler has the news, and then there's more show. We'll get Eric Zorn in here in a little bit. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.